This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehias Wuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight, President Buhari has condemned what he called the heinous killing of worshippers in southwestern Nigeria. We'll have this story and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. President Muhammadu Buhari called it heinous. The governor of Ondo State called it a terrible massacre. And Pope Francis is praying for the victims. For the latest on the gruesome killings at a Catholic church in southwest Nigeria, I talked to Medina Dauda, our VOA Abuja Bureau coordinator.
Yesterday, Sunday, we got the story of a gruesome attack at a Catholic church in Owa Luwa Street, Owa, in Ondo State. And the story came from one Reverend Father Andrew Abayomi, who narrated that the church was attacked by terrorists on Sunday morning. The latest information we got was that they discovered 50 dead bodies so far, and the 50 dead bodies are comprising of men, women, and children.
The gunmen shot at people outside and inside the church building, killing and injuring worshippers. What is the identity and motive of the attackers? Is that known yet?
As you are speaking, the motive for the attackers is not known yet. That is why they were identified as terrorists or gunmen. Most of the reports you see about those who carried out this attack shows that as we speak with you, nobody has come out to claim responsibility for this gruesome attack that killed 50 people in this church in Owa Luwa Street, in Owa local government of Ondo State.
Medina, as far as public reaction, the Ondo State governor has visited the scene of the attack, and he's visited at the hospital. President Muhammadu Buhari has condemned the attack, calling it heinous. And the Vatican said Pope Francis was praying for the victims. In general, how is the mood to this attack over there where you are? How are people reacting?
Now, here where I am in Abuja, the federal capital city of Nigeria, everywhere you meet two, three people talking, they're talking about this gruesome attack. Even though the attack has been going on in most areas of the country, most especially the northwest, the northeast, and of course, some few parts of the southwest. But in the southwest, nothing like this has ever happened. This is the first time that gunmen will kill this number of people so far. And people are not really happy about it. The president came out to condemn it. The governor, Governor Akere Dolu, cut short his attending of the primary elections that were taking place in his state to go to the church and visit the people who are injured in the hospital. And so far, he has been visiting all those that are involved in this gruesome attack. It is something that has hit the country. Everybody is feeling very, very unsafe and shocked about this kind of happening. Because if you hear it happen today in Owo, in Ondo State of southwest Nigeria, it could happen in another state later. It could also happen in another state. The thing has been going on round and round and round like that. So everybody is feeling very, very unsafe as you and I are speaking right now.
That was Medina Dauda, VOA Abuja Bureau coordinator. She was talking with me from Abuja. As mentioned earlier, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has condemned what he called the heinous killings of worshippers at the Catholic Church in the country's southwest. The president said in a statement that his government mourns the dead in the St. Francis Catholic Church in Owo, in Ondo State and sympathizes with their families. Buhari urged emergency agencies to swing into action and treat the wounded. Reports from Owo said gunmen disguised themselves as worshippers, then set off explosive devices and opened fire at parishioners, killing dozens. Ondo State Governor Rotim Akardolo described the attack as violent, satanic, and vowed that his administration will commit resources to hunt down the gunmen and bring them to justice. David Awarawo is a professor of international relations and strategic studies at the University of Lagos. Speaking with reporter Mike Mbonye, he says the incident has made a strong case for the establishment of state police in the country to check crime in rural communities.
Well, first, condolences to the families of those who lost their lives and those injured, and to Nigerians at large, because everybody is shocked by what happened. It is horrific. It is unfortunate that Nigeria is degenerating and that the security architecture is not seemed to be inadequate to rise up to the occasion. It is a tragedy of immense proportion. It's a tragedy that has the potential to create the condition for more violence if the right things are not done.
Yes, sir. Talking about inability of the authorities to do the right thing, do you foresee more of these attacks as the days come by?
Certainly, because the people who are perpetrating the killings, the violent people who are carrying out these killings, they seem to be determined to disrupt the peace of the country and kill people who, have a different, opinion and culture as theirs. And what should stop them is government preparedness, robust government response to ensure that even if they want to do it, they are prevented from doing it. There is nothing to suggest that the government has that capacity right now. So if you put the two together, that is the fact that these people are determined to continue to cause, to wreak havoc, and the government's incapacity to respond in a robust manner to ensure that these attacks do not take place, it leads to one conclusion, and that is that the attacks like this will likely continue.
Sir, some security analysts and some opinion leaders in the country have said that one way of checking this kind of attacks is the establishment or creation of state police. What's your take on this, sir?
This is something that is long overdue. And maybe now that things have turned topsy-turvy, and the idea whose time has come. All over the world, policing is local. Crime, it takes place in the local setting, the local environment. And, the capacity of societies to develop security architecture at the local level to be able to anticipate attacks and, violence and those who, the bad guys, and take preemptive measures to prevent these things from happening is the bedrock of, good security management and policing all over the world. The fact that the Nigerian, security system does not follow that pattern is a misnomer. It's an aberration. Hopefully, with all of these things happening now, the government will take measures to ensure that state police, local policing, is allowed to function in the country.
That was David Awarawo, professor of international relations and strategic studies at the University of Lagos, speaking by phone with reporter Mike Mbonye. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, there has been a new deadly attack by the Allied Democratic Forces, or ADF, militia in Ituri province near the border with Uganda. And the M23 militia has been battling government forces in Rutshuru, several hundred kilometers to the south near the Rwanda border. The ADF and M23 are two of the most powerful rebel groups in the region, where more than 100 militias operate, many of them a legacy of wars in the DRC. The ADF is an Islamist movement that originated in Uganda with ties to the Islamic State militias. M23 is mostly made of members of the Tutsi ethnic community that claims to fight for Tutsi rights. Journalist Jafar Al-Katanti is in Goma in the eastern DRC. He spoke with VOA's Kate Poundossen a short time ago about the attacks.
This night, militants of Islamic State known as ADF in DRC attacked the village of Otomabere in Irumu district of Ituri province. And they killed people. At the moment, we are talking about 25 bodies discovered and more than 30 houses burned, according to the Civil Society of Ituri. And the spokesperson of the governor of Ituri said that the governor regrets the horrible attack of ADF and said that the army forces in pursuit of the enemy.
Now, at the same time we've had the ADF attack, they're still fighting with the M23, is that correct?
About M23, this morning, there was fighting from Rutshuru in many positions of FRDC and M23. According to the president of M23, FRDC was the first to start fighting, but the spokesperson of FRDC in Port Kivu said M23 launched the attack to their position. And now the FRDC has communicated to control the position of Runyoni, which was the most important position controlled by M23 for many months now. And fighting still ongoing till now.
ADF attack and the M23 fighting. This comes just a few days before the visit of the King of Belgium. Is there any risk to the King's visit because of this violence in the East?
Attacks are 2,000 kilometers far from where the King will be visiting. The King will visit Kinshasa and Lubumbashi, which are very far from where fighting are. It depends on how the security and all agencies decide. But I think that things are like the King will come, even if fighting still ongoing in Eastern Congo.
That was reporter Jafar Al-Katanti speaking with my colleague Kate Poundossen from Goma. Belgium's King Philip arrives in Kinshasa tomorrow, his first visit to the former Belgian colony since the start of his reign in 2013. Millions of Congolese are estimated to have died between 1885 and 1908 after Belgium's King Leopold II declared the country his personal property. The DRC became independent in 1960. In 2020, King Philip expressed deep regret for the suffering and humiliation inflicted on Congo during 75 years of Belgian rule. Republic of Congo's President Denis Sassou Nguesso hosted his DRC counterpart, Felix Antoine Tshisekedi, in an effort to ease the crisis between the DRC and Rwanda. Sassou Nguesso says peace is critical for both countries and the continent as a whole, since it faces several other major challenges. Rosie Pioth has the story from Brazzaville.
With the tension between the DRC and Rwanda recently escalating, Sassou Nguesso is asking for everyone's involvement in calming the situation. Sassou Nguesso spoke at a news conference last night at the end of a 48-hour visit by Tshisekedi to Oyo in the north of the country. He says Africa has many challenges to meet and the continent cannot face them without a climate of peace and cooperation among nations. He called for peace between the two countries and asked the heads of states to use ways and mechanisms put in place for the resolution of this crisis by African Union. Tshisekedi thanked Sassou Nguesso for his involvement in resolving this crisis. He urged all parties to join the Nairobi peace process, which he called the last chance to build the future of peace in East Africa, as well as in the east of the DRC. He invited Rwanda to become actively involved for the benefit of the entire Great Lakes region. For VOA Africa, Rosie Piot in Brazzaville.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Please note we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. There, you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com. In South Africa, it appears that forces with President Cyril Ramaphosa's African National Congress have launched a campaign to depose him as the party's leader. Last week, a senior ANC member, close to former President Jacob Zuma, filed criminal charges against Ramaphosa. The allegation is that the president defeated the ends of justice by withholding information about a multi-million dollar robbery on his farm in 2020. Darren Taylor has more.
The man who's brought the charges against Ramaphosa is Zuma's former intelligence chief, Arthur Fraser. Last September, it was also Fraser, then Correctional Services Commissioner, who set Zuma free on medical parole after he'd been jailed for refusing to testify at a commission of inquiry into corruption. Fraser's been linked to the former president's alleged state capture scheme when billions of dollars was looted from state-owned enterprises, mostly between 2014 and 2018. Fraser denies being part of state capture. He says robbers stole more than $4 million from Ramaphosa's game ranch in Limpopo province in February 2020, but the president covered the incident up. After Fraser filed the charges, he posted on social media that the robbery raises red flags about money laundering and corruption. Ramaphosa's spokesperson, Vincent Magwenya, confirms the robbery happened, but says the president denies criminal conduct.
On or around the 9th of February in 2020, proceeds from the sale of game were stolen. The president was attending an African Union summit in Addis Ababa at the time the incident occurred. On being advised of the robbery, President Ramaphosa reported the incident to the head of the Presidential Protection Unit of the South African Police Service for investigation.
Ramaphosa is a keen breeder and trader of rare game animals. Police sources have told VOA that buyers paid the president's farm manager in foreign currency for an extremely rare oryx antelope. Magwenya says the payment did not amount to $4 million.
I don't want to get into the debate of numbers at this stage. There's still an investigation that's going to take place. But the amount that is cited by Mr. Fraser is hugely inflated. We are going to go back to records and invoices to just reestablish that amount. But indeed, the proceeds were there legitimately because game had been sold to clients.
Police sources say the robbery appears to have been an inside job and suspects have been identified. Fraser's charges against Ramaphosa come about a month before one of the most important dates in the ANC's calendar, its annual policy meeting. Then, in December, Ramaphosa's continued leadership of the ANC will be decided at the party's national elective conference. Magwenya says the president doesn't want to speculate about the timing or motives of the criminal case against him.
What's important, though, to emphasize is that President Ramaphosa remains resolute in leading the fight against corruption, restoring the integrity and capability of public institutions, and overcoming the legacy of state capture, and he will not be deterred by disinformation campaigns.
Political analysts say the latest cloud to be cast over Ramaphosa is a blatant attempt by his enemies in the ANC to take the party back from him. The president's prosecutors are building cases against ANC officials who allegedly stole billions of dollars under Zuma's watch. The analysts say no matter where the charges against Ramaphosa go, Fraser's case is, in a sense, already successful, because in a country where millions cannot afford food, a president who sells luxury animals as a hobby and apparently has so much money that he doesn't know exactly how much was stolen from him does not go down well. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Millions of people around the globe marked World Environment Day yesterday with leaders, business people, and climate campaigners demanding urgent action to conserve and restore the environment. Tens of thousands organized their own activities that included planting millions of trees, cleaning trash, and other actions to highlight that there is hashtag only one Earth. In Kenya, young people held a tree planting activity at a primary school in the semi-arid eastern county of Makuni, 140 kilometers from the Kenyan capital. From Makuni County, east of Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports for VOA.
At Siaolwe Primary School, a two-hour drive east of Nairobi, a group of 100 students, teachers and community leaders marked World Environment Day by planting trees and demanding urgent action to help the environment. Tafemas Malatu is the school's head teacher.
By planting trees, we are teaching our children how to conserve the environment. The streams around here, they have dried up due to deforestation, but now we are trying to educate the community and the pupils we have in the school to majorly conserve the environment, continue planting more trees.
14-year-old Charity Kaunda wants to spread that message.
I would like to tell the leaders that we need clean water, not only to drink but to grow trees. Every day it's Earth Day, please support us.
Celebrated annually on the 5th of June, the UN International Day is a global platform for environmental outreach, engaging governments, businesses, civil society, schools, and communities. This year's theme, Only One Earth, calls for collective action to celebrate, protect, and restore our planet. Faith Kilonzo is a youth climate activist.
As we all know, climate change is really affecting a lot of the areas that means that they can use to be involved in the climate action. We are approaching schools, specifically primary schools, and working with pupils from grade 4 to 6 to ensure they stay longer in schools and they're able to adapt these trees that we are planting. And we are mainly planting indigenous trees.
Speaking at the official ceremony in Sweden, the executive director of the UN Environment Programme, Inge Andersson, said the triple planetary crisis is accelerating, adding that the world is not doing enough to protect Mother Nature. But the young Kenyan environmentalist says working with the youth, especially in Africa, can provide homegrown sustainable solutions.
Young people are the most important change makers in the community. I can sit at a policy table and push for environmental laws and policies, or we can have so many chichis pushing for the same, but it's the people who are at the grassroots level who are affected most. And it's also important to pass this information to the younger generations so that they can also pass it to the other generations, and it becomes a continuous process. We do not have a timeline.
Despite the spirited efforts to address deforestation, Kilonzo cites the challenges of working with vulnerable communities, especially due to prolonged lack of rainfall in most dry areas. World Environment Day follows findings from the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute that world leaders are failing to prepare for a new era of complex and often unpredictable risks as profound environmental and security crises converge and intensify. Ruben Chama reporting for VOA News from Makueni, Kenya.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, and our engineer, Pete Hundley, thanks for tuning in and choosing The Voice of America.